to remind us what God has done. Amen. I'd like you to turn over with me this morning to New Testament, the Gospel of Luke. As I was reading and studying a little bit last night, this scripture came to me, and I put a few things together for Veterans Day just to honor our veterans, but, you know, God shows you something in the Word. He'll always give you something that'll bless somebody. His Word is there to bless us, encourage us. Dallas is not here this morning. He got asked by his coach to stand at First Baptist Church in Mooresville this morning and read from the Scriptures. I think Old Testament, Psalms, he's going to read about 13, 14 verses. And then the last thing he's supposed to say is, "This is the Word of God." But I told him, whatever the Lord gives you, if you need to add to, add a little bit. But I said, just don't read it. I said, read it. You know, you read it and then you read it. Amen. You deliver it. Because the Word is quick and it's alive. It ain't just pages on a book. When you experience God Almighty, you just can't read it. You got to read it. Amen. You got to speak it. In Luke chapter 1, 23, and this was after Zacharias had received the prophecy from the angel that his wife was going to have a child. And she was barren, and the Bible says she was well advanced in age. And I'm not going to put a number on how old she was, but she was pretty old, well advanced. And verse 23 says, when he came out, he could not speak to them. He had seen the vision. He had seen an angel, and the angel told him this was going to happen. Your wife is going to conceive in her old age. And he doubted. He said, how can this be? Well, he was struck mute and deaf, because the Bible says in verse 20, but behold, you will be mute and not able to speak until the day these things take place, because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time. God's word will be fulfilled. Now, we're talking about the birth of Jesus and the birth of John the Baptist, which was preparing the way of the way of Jesus, the way of the Word of God. Those words will be fulfilled. If Zacchaeus had to be struck mute and deaf for God's will to pass, I mean, had Jesus not come, we wouldn't be here today. So it's okay to strike him with to be mute and deaf for a season so God's Word can be fulfilled. And he goes on to say, I'm going to go ahead and read. And the people, verse 21, waited for Zacharias to come out, and they marveled that he lingered so long in the temple. So don't feel so bad when people, when you're in church a little bit longer, man, where are they at? They hadn't made it yet. They're lingering in the temple there too long. Well, if God's got something to say, we need to be kind of open to maybe, don't look at the clock on the wall. Amen. Be looking for the Word of God to be fulfilled in your life. Amen? But when the people came out, when he came out, he could not speak to them. And he was old too, been speaking, been hearing all his life perfectly. But he couldn't speak, and they perceived that he had seen a vision in the temple. Now you got to remember now, this is Old Testament. This is not the New Testament now. For he beckoned to them and remained speechless. He didn't know what was going on. So it was soon as the days, so it was as soon as the days of his service was completed, he departed to his own house. What Zechariah did, he was of the tribe of Levi. They had to take 1 or 2 weeks of the year. They served in the temple for 1 week, 2 weeks out of the year, for a full week, just 2 weeks out of the year. His service was completed, and he went to his home. That word service is the word, it was originally used of citizens serving in public office at their own expense. Later, it included military service or community participation. In the New Testament, it's used both for a priestly service and for unselfish giving. You want to know what a veteran is? It's somebody that who is unselfishly gives everything that he has for what he believes in, for the service of his country and to God. That's what a veteran, that's what a Christian is. That's what a soldier is. A soldier is fighting for something he believes in, and he will stay at that until he completes his service and he returns home. Amen. So praise God for those that make it home, but also thank you, Jesus, for those that served on the battlefield that didn't make it home, but they continued in their service. Amen? See, Zacharias continued in that service in the temple for a full week. But he was, the Bible says him and his wife were blameless, righteous, serving God. It paid off. Your payday is coming. James says, don't grow weary in well-doing, for you shall reap in due season if you faint not. We can't faint not at the promises of God, no matter how long we have to stay committed to it. Amen? Committed to it. Salute to the captain of the host, the Lord Jesus Christ. If he said it, his words will be fulfilled in your life. Amen? Now we're getting ready to, on that note, I want you to think about your offering this morning as you're getting ready to give. Okay, we unselfishly give, believing, trusting God, who has placed us in this country where we can freely come to church, where we can freely give, trusting and knowing that he's working things out in our lives that we can't see and we can't understand. I'm not going to teach on this today, but our giving, the Bible talks about, is the least in the kingdom of God for us to believe in. So if we can't, I'm not going to teach on this, but I'm wanting to. If we can't believe God, if we're saying we're trusting God and we can't believe him in our finances, to trust him to give tithes and offerings, then the Bible says that's the least area of our faith. How are we going to believe him for our families to get saved? How are we going to believe him for areas in our life for our marriages to be strong? But the Bible teaches us that's the least area of our life is in our finances. If we can't trust God there, we're deceiving ourselves thinking that we're trusting him for the big things. I'm not going to teach on it. I'm going to say it again. But I want you to know that. And it's in the Word. I'll bring it out to us. I need to hear it. My family needs to hear it. I got teenagers that's getting ready to get into the world. You know, they need to know about giving, about tithing, sowing and reaping. If God thinks it's important. Amen. And he wants his word to be fulfilled in your life. So it's very important. That same word service, and it goes on in verse 24. After these days, after he departed and Zacharias went home, after those days, his wife Elizabeth conceived. And she hid herself 5 months, saying, thus the Lord has dealt with me in the days when he looked on me to take away my reproach. See, that's what God's about. He's about blessing us. And she hid herself, and she just, what was we singing this morning? She just wanted to be in the presence of God. She just was hid in the presence of God, thanking him and giving him honor for taking this reproach away from her. Not even knowing John, what he would do. See, God knows the end from the beginning. He saw everything that was going to happen. Zacharias, to be mute and deaf for maybe, she was already, we're talking about a year. I mean, that's a long time. I don't want to speak and not be able to hear for a year. Remember, this is the Old Testament now. God had to do this so his word could be fulfilled. Okay, Christ came and fulfilled all the law, right? God's not going to strike you with deafness and muteness anymore, okay? But for his word to be fulfilled, that had to take place. Amen? But we know the end of the story. John prepared the way of the Lord when his son was born. See, in the Old Testament, the Jewish tradition, when your son was born, he was named after his father. His father named the child. Zacharias wasn't going to name him John, which means grace. He had another name picked out. But God needed grace working with Jesus, which would be full of grace and full of truth. See, John, they were cousins. So it all had to be fulfilled. Stand with me this morning as we give our tithes and offerings, knowing it's an unselfish gift, a service that we do for God. Because what we're doing, we're sowing into the kingdom of God, which we're able as a nation to stand for nations that don't have, that have dictators that can't, that will not allow their people to be able to freely give. And what we do as a nation, as a church, we give into the kingdom of God. And we're able to reach out here to the community. Sometimes, we, you know, you've got big churches, small churches. It doesn't matter. God's not looking at our size. He's looking at our hearts. You know, I think about Billy Graham. He's had a birthday, I think, help me out. 96. I think it's 96. 96, 97. Yeah. Billy Graham celebrating many advanced years in the Lord. Somebody ministered the gospel to him. Tithes and offerings, money had to be brought in to reach him, to get that gospel message out, whether it was a tract, whether it was a bulletin. You know, Dallas says he didn't even know the scriptures he was sharing, but they was going to send him a bulletin. He hadn't heard yesterday. It was already 6, 7 o'clock at night. I just went online, went to the church website. Guess what? You can print the bulletin right out. There it was, Dallas Jackson, the scriptures he was going to share. I'm like, here's the word. Because, see, you don't need just to read it. You need to study it and then deliver it. Amen? I didn't want him just going there just reading. And somebody's going to hear the word. Somebody's life's going to be touched and changed by the anointing of God. It's important. Your money, your finances is important. It's important to God because it's getting a message out there. Amen? We look in here, you know, maybe two handfuls we could count, but guess what? We're on the internet. I've had one minister all the way from India, you know, sending me an email. He's happy. I don't know how he talks, but happy, you know, wants to. He's hearing the messages and encouraging his people. So we don't see all this. So sometimes we just got to shut our eyes, open up our hearts, and believe. Not some of the time, all the time. So let's do that. Father, we just open up our hearts to you today, Father. And we do that, Lord, by opening up our pocketbooks. Because, Father God, this is the grace you have graced us with, is the grace of service, of giving. And, Father, we thank you, Lord, that you gave so that we could freely give. And as a nation and as a church, Father, we say thank you for giving us the opportunity to live in a nation where we can proclaim who we are, what we're going to do, and we can go out here and help others, Father God, to come to that freedom which is only found in Christ Jesus our Lord. And, Father, we just thank you, Lord, for this nation. We thank you, Lord, for this church and for the community, Father God. And as we reach out here, Lord, we thank you for the word that's going forth that's going to minister and touch and change lives for your glory. And we're able to give into it today, expecting a great harvest in our lives in Jesus' name. Can you say amen? Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. If you'll turn to the book of 1 John. It's in the back of your New Testament, almost to the end. 1 John, 2 John, 3 John, Jude, and Revelation. Amen? 1 John chapter 2, verse 16. Let's go to 1 John 2, verse 15. I want you to read with me. Is everybody there? Is it on the... 1 John 2, 15. Read with me. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Verse 16. For all that is in the world is the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Amen? Amen? So why do we not want to trust in riches? It's okay to have riches, but it's not God's will to have trust in them. God tells us to trust in him with all our heart. Lean on to him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. If we do that, we'll always be willing to give, right? The title of this message is temptation. And as long as we're waking up, living, and breathing, we're going to be tempted. Amen? If you ever get to where you think you're not going to be tempted, you need to wake up because you're deceiving. You're in deception. You're going to be tempted. As long as you can open your eyes, as long as you can put something in your mouth and you're going to have somebody come across you, and then you're not going to butt heads. That's called pride. You're going to be tempted. Three areas that we're tempted in. We are all tempted in these three areas that John just told us about. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. What we're going to look at is the two Adams contrasted. First Adam, and we know who is the second Adam. Jesus. First Adam, his response to these temptations, let's go back to the beginning. Take them all the way back to the beginning of the book. Now we're going back to Genesis. Kind of keep your finger around the book of Luke, but go back to the book of Genesis, the book of beginnings. Now this is the book of beginnings of mankind, of creation, right? It is not the beginning of God. God is, and God is the I Am. There's no beginning and there's no end in God. He just is. Don't go past that in your theology, because that's where you can get off. You can get squirrely. Amen? And don't follow others that are in, you know, well, what does it say about between this verse and this verse? It's a long span of time. But don't go there. I mean, if God's giving you something, lay it out there, but don't try to answer things that's not in the book. Amen? We're not testing on that, right? If a good teacher, they give you a test, guess what? She's giving you the information, all right? We're going to be testing on what we know, what we see, what we've read, not what we haven't seen. So, you said, well, I thought God's not going to test you. Well, he won't test you with evil. He can't tempt no man with evil, but we will be tested by this word. Now, the devil's going to try to come and steal this word from you because he don't want you to pass the test, right? But God wants you to pass the test. That's why he's given us the word. And that's why he's given you me and everyone in this church to help each other. Because we have the word. We help each other. That's what we're here for. We're going to be tempted. Amen? And if you can't find your way out, you can't find the exit, call somebody. Amen? We help you. Amen. Call somebody. Pick up the phone. We'll help you find the exit. Because God said with every temptation, there will be a way of an escape. Help! 911. Call Psalms 9, 91 and 1. All right, I'm trying to get to Genesis. I don't want to leave the book of John. I want to stay in the New Testament. Genesis chapter 3. Did I tell you what chapter yet? That's why. Wasn't ready yet. Verse 6. Let me see if that's where we want to start at. No, let's just start in verse 1. Amen. Genesis 3. Verse 1, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, now this is talking about the snake, the serpent. He ain't talking about Lucifer, because this was God made him. He was the beast of the earth, deceived by the devil. And God had made him. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the snake or to the serpent, we may eat the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, we shall not eat it, nor shall we touch it. What? Your wife's always going to add a little bit too. Don't even touch it. See, Adam remembered, don't eat it. She remembered, don't eat and don't touch, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you shall not surely die, for God knows in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. Wrong answer. That ain't what God said. They already knew God. They just didn't know evil. Right? So when the woman saw, here we go, she saw something. When the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to her eyes. See, so this is Cindy's impression when she saw you. You were looking good. She knew you was the right one. See, this is a woman's perspective. The tree was good for food, it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desiring to make one wise. That's another reason she married you, Cecil. She saw that wisdom. Wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. They both ate off the plate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked. Uh-oh. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Three temptations. Adam yielded to the fruit that was on the tree. This fruit was, and we're looking at the three temptations here. The tree was good for food. That's the lust of the flesh. I want it, and I want it now. It's looking good. Number two, the temptation of the lust of the eyes. The tree was pleasant to their eyes. Okay? And number three, the pride of life. The tree was desirable to make one wise. And see, God had already told them, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. But there come the snake, brought some deception in. God didn't say nothing about you don't know anything. Because he was getting to know them every day. He was showing them, walking with Adam in the cool of the evening every day, revealing his heart to Adam every day, giving the vision, a little piece of the vision. Say, God, you get a vision, but he doesn't give you the whole vision of your whole life. You get many visions, amen, throughout our lives. Once we fulfill that vision, then God's going to open up some revelation to you and give you some more vision. I couldn't hand Rowan right now a book on marriage and let him really understand it. It wouldn't be an appropriate time for him to understand marriage right now to a 10-year-old who's don't get close to girls right now because they're not boys. You know, they're at that stage. I mean, but he does have a neighbor. Him and Taylor are friends. I mean, they go playing the leaves, rake leaves, jump leaves together, throw football. But there'll come a time to where he'll look at her a little bit different. Amen? They get older in knowledge. They're seeing things. They're growing. They're maturing. This is God's process. Amen? Temptations are coming. But how important it is that we've had the Word. The Word's in there. And we're going to get to the end of this. I've got to get you to the end of it before I reveal that. But this tree, Adam's response to the temptations were not good. Adam and Eve's. They were working on this thing together. They were in cahoots together. Amen. If you want to put the word cahoot in there. I don't even know what it means, but I've heard it. I don't know if I could spell it. Cahoots. They were in covenant together. They had a covenant with God, right? Whatever I have is yours, and whatever you have is mine, and we have God's. They were in covenant. Marriage covenant. The snake knew that. The devil knew that. I don't think the snake really knew it. I think the devil knew it. He deceived the snake because the snake was going to lose his. Snakes used to walk, the Bible says. They used to stand and walk, had legs. He was going to lose his legs and crawl on his belly. That's destruction to a snake. What they used to be, it was a curse. You rather walk on your feet, Larry, or rub on your belly? Don't answer that question. Oh, hallelujah. Temptations. This might be a series too. I don't know if I'll finish it that way. I'm going to finish this page. But the key was this. This was God's tree. The knowledge of good and evil is God's tree. Amen? That's what he said. Do not, you can eat of every other tree, Adam, except one. Because God didn't never intend for us to have a relationship with evil. To know evil. Because he knew the devil. He knew he was going to fall. Pride of life. Pride was found in him and he fell. He didn't want us to fall. He did not want mankind to fall. But he loves us so much, he didn't create us just to be his puppets on a string. He created us to rule and reign with him over this earth. But he gave us complete free will. And that's how much God loves us. Amen. The key was, this was God's tree. It was his. He said, all other trees eat from, including, see, we left this tree out, including the tree of life was in the garden. They totally forgot about that tree. They over here focusing on the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What do you want to know? You want to know life or you want to know knowledge of good and evil? I'm going to hang around the tree of life. Zoe, God's kind of life. Amen? That's the tree you need to be under when temptation comes. Scripture's coming. If we abide underneath the shadow of the Almighty, I think of that tree with its leaves. It brings a shade. You get out of the sun. You get out of the heat. You get out of the kitchen. You get underneath the shadow of the Almighty. That's Him. That's the tree of life. That's what it offers. Temptations are coming. Right there they are in the garden. Nobody thought about the tree of life. That's where Jesus is. He is life. Amen. By Adam's disobedience, we know this. They brought sin and death into this world, and that's what God was talking about in the New Testament. That's what we're talking about in 1 John. What this world has to offer now is nothing but death. And that's not of God. It came from the tree of knowledge of good and evil, that He never wanted its fruit in this earth. He wanted to stay on that tree. That tree was an example of this is Lucifer's plan for destruction. This is his tree. He got in there because that was knowledge of good and evil. In that tree was the knowledge of why the devil did what he did. Because that's evil. It's a knowledge of pride. And God never intended us to know that. I would say, I'm going to add my opinion here, until we matured a little bit, then He would show a little bit about what evil is. Don't write a book about that. But why would God reveal to mankind who is completely good and just all of a sudden show him what evil could be? There's a process. You got to know God. Don't even worry about the devil when you become a Christian. Don't think you're going to go take on the devil and his kingdom. No, you know, learn who Jesus is. Amen. That's your foundation. Yes. Paul said, "Oh, that I might know him and the power of his resurrection." Once we know Jesus, we won't fall for the temptations of the devil. Now, we're suitable to fall because of this flesh. I said we're suitable, but you have another suit on. It's called the armor of God, the full armor of God that you wear in the Spirit. A soldier, Larry and Larry, they didn't go to battle in their fruit of the Spirit, in their fruit of the loom, did they? That's what they had on the inside. They had the fruit of the loom on, which is, they also were clothed by the fruit of the Spirit in their heart, but they had a suit that they would put on, and they would go fight. All right, we have a suit that we never take off. We keep it on. Go to bed in it. It sleeps real good. It's comfy. It's the full armor of God in Ephesians. Not going to teach on that today. So, the temptation, either, keep it simple, guys, we either obey or disobey. Okay, now we're going to contrast. The word contrast, give you a definition, and you probably know it, but I had to learn it. Contrast is the state of being strikingly different. Contrast two things. I can explain on the computer because you can take a screen, you can contrast it from blurry to more clear. Strikingly different. This is the second Adam. There's a second Adam coming. Amen? The word had to be fulfilled. Mary had to conceive Emmanuel with us, God with us. See, that was Jesus. That was that word. Zechariah had to be struck deaf and mute. Shut up, Zacharias. Jesus has got to come. In other words, just this has got to happen, Zacharias. This is important. This is very important. Amen. This is the life of God being put back, planted back into this earth in Christ Jesus. This is a tree that had to be planted. Amen. Jesus had to be planted so that we could be the fruits of his righteousness. Amen. Get a picture of that tree. Tree of life. So contrast, the two temptations, the three temptations here that we're tempted with. The first Adam, he failed the test. Jesus, the second Adam, let's go to the book of Luke. And we're going to have time to get this finished. Luke. Hallelujah. I get excited and I know where it's at, but I just get excited flipping pages up here. I know where I want to go and don't even want to open the book to show you. I just want to bring it out of the heart. Luke chapter 4. And he was a doctor. You know that, don't you? I don't get to pick on Sherry this morning. I ain't talking about Matthew the tax collector. I'm talking about Dr. Luke. I got a daughter that's working on her doctorate. She's getting ready to graduate, she'll be undergraduate, so we'll take care of that this year, and then she'll be going for her master's and then her doctorate. I can call her Dr. Kelsey. Okay, Luke chapter 4, verses 1 through 13. Let us read together here. Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. We're talking about the Holy Spirit now. Being tempted, Jesus was tempted. Oh yeah, Son of God. Yeah, being tempted for 40 days by who? The devil. And in those days, he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry. Listen to that, Ruthie. 40 days, he didn't eat nothing, and he was hungry. I didn't say 4 minutes. I said 40 days. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread. Make a Bojangles biscuits out of this stone, Jesus. I know you're hungry. It's been 40 days. It's okay. It's okay. God didn't say you can't turn this stone into bread." Right. I ain't going to say it. I'm going. But Jesus answered him, "It is written." First temptation. Command a stone be made bread. The lust of the flesh. You're hungry. What's your flesh want? It's wanting food and it wants it now. That's what Jesus' body was crying out. Eat it. Make it. Go ahead. Jesus said, "It is written." Open up the book. "Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." You got to understand, Jesus was 30 years old. He had been preparing himself for 30 years. He had read this book for 30 years. Or he had heard it for a certain point. Then he started reading it when he could read. And then from then on until he reached age 30, he knew what was in this book. Amen? He knew what was in the tree of life. Past that, that's multiple choice. He got that one right. "It's written, you shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Contrast, strikingly different from what Adam said. You say, "Well, Jesus didn't have a wife." We ain't going there right now. Okay, then the devil took Jesus up on a high mountain. High mountain, I think a grandfather mountain. High on a mountain. I like that song, Vince Gill, too. I'll throw that in there. Took him up on a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And the devil said to him, "All this authority I will give you and their glory, for this has been delivered to me." And he is right. Adam handed over the keys of the kingdom right to the devil. It was his to give. "And I will give it to whomever I wish." Temptation too, the lust of the eyes. He showed him in a moment all these kingdoms. And Jesus answered to him, what did he say? "Get behind me, Satan." I don't want that vision. "For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only shall you worship." Temptation number two. Check, Jesus passed that test. Number three, the pride of life. These are only three temptations we're ever going to be tempted with, but they can be packaged in different ways. Then the devil brought him to Jerusalem, the holy city. Took him to Jerusalem where he was raised. He knew about Jerusalem. He'd been there. Come to the feast. Jesus knew about this place. Set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If you are who you say you are, the Son of God, throw yourself down." The devil tried to get the word back in here now. "For it is written." Like I know something about, I know what the word says too. "For it's written, Jesus, he shall give his angels." Guess what? Lucifer was an angel. Pride. "I used to be there. I could do this." Guess what? He can't do it no more. He got kicked out. He lost his position. "He'll give his angels." See, he's not even in that class anymore. Or he would have said, he would have put his name in there, right? But he'll give his angels. See, he's not part of God's kingdom anymore. "He'll give his angels charge over you to keep you." And in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. That was Lucifer's priority, to watch over mankind. But he didn't want it. Guess what? God gave it to somebody else. There's another angel. You got Michael, Gabriel. Amen. Carrying on the work of God. Watching over us. Amen? Watching over our men and women in the armed forces. Those that don't even know they got angels. They're dispatched out there watching over God, mama's prayers over their son. Amen. Daddy's prayers over the boys. Got angels dispatched. Not this one, not Satan, not Lucifer. He was all into himself. What can I get out of this? Jesus answered and said to him, it has been said, and I'll just say, and I'm saying it now. It has been said, and I'll say it again. You shall not tempt the Lord your God. See, he took him right to him. The Lord, your God. He's your God too, Lucifer. And he's my God. And when the devil had ended his temptation, he departed from him, and guess what? He went back to his house. Where's that at? Crawling on his belly, sucking up dust. Yes. Amen. That's where his house is. It's the curse of the earth. And I've been out here chopping up leaves and blowing you to get, guess what? I don't like it when all that stuff gets in my nostrils. Guess what? That's his reward. That's what he is stooped. He went this high and he ended up being down here. That's his curse. That's his reward. Jesus resisted the devil, resulting in justification and life. Not just for him, Ruthie, for all of us. That's why, but the key I want you to know is, what made the difference? What made up the difference between contrasting between the first Adam and the second Adam? There's a couple differences, but there's a major one that took place right here after Jesus was baptized in the Jordan. Can somebody help me? You're right there with me. After he was baptized in the Jordan, there was something come down from heaven. The heavens were opened up, and the Holy Spirit came down in a visible form of a dove and was upon him for service. For service. Amen? For service. Guess what? The Holy Spirit never left him. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. So that we may boldly say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That same power that came upon Jesus was the same power, the same Spirit that led him into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil, so that we can boldly say, get behind me, Satan. My best days are ahead. Hallelujah. Your best days are ahead. If you hang around the tree of life. Amen? Because there's still another tree out there. The temptations are out there. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. But there's a greater one living on the inside of you that's speaking, and it's through the power of the Holy Spirit is how we listen and understand. And I want to make this one point. In my Bible, there's some little notations. I've got subtitles. Titles and subtitles. And in Luke 3, you say, well, Jesus did that. How can I do it? You have the mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Don't say you can't do it. You can. Amen? Amen. Can't is a four-letter word. It's one of them ugly words. You can. That's a three-letter word. But sometimes we've got to get off of our can. Amen? Too many times, you remember watching Andy Griffin, Opie, just kicking that can. Just bored, couldn't find nothing to do. He'd go kick a can, finding something to do. Well, we need to have a can-do attitude. We need to kick, that can needs to be the devil. We need to be kicking him around because he's underneath our feet. Amen. And we can do all things through Christ. Let that paint the devil on that can. Amen. Not your boss. Don't paint their picture on that can. It's not your school teachers. Don't put their picture on that can. It's the devil. They might be caught up in his temptations, but don't be kicking them around. We're to love one another. Amen? Luke 3, verse 46 through 50, and I'm going to close right here. Luke, I want you to understand, how can I do this? That sounds good. It don't feel good to my flesh. Well, guess what? Your flesh has nothing to do with your spirit. Because Luke chapter 3, verse 46 through 50. Did I get 46? How did I get that in there? Luke 3, the Holy Spirit. All right, let me just look in my book here. I got to find understanding here. I think that's when they said the food came home last night. I was studying, and food's here, and I disappeared. That's where I was probably writing that down. I'm like, oh, no. Understanding. Luke 3. Or is it Luke 2? I got it in my Bible. Right here it is. It's Luke 2, 46, not Luke 3. I need to make my chapters a little bit bigger there. Luke 2, 46. Now, so it was that after 3 days, this is when Jesus got lost from his mom and dad. You ever been there, Larry? You ever been there? Get lost from mom and daddy? Ruthie did. She got lost in Savannah. Right? Savannah. For about 30 minutes. Lost. I mean, it was crowded. We didn't know what. We knew how to pray in the Holy Ghost. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. And then we went and hit the food restaurants. We know she's got to be in the food. Knock out. She's not around jewelry. She's not shopping. She's looking at those chocolate eclairs somewhere. So we found her. We was on the trail. Her mama had to tell the rest of the story how we found her, but we found her. Hallelujah. They couldn't find Jesus 3 days, and they found him in the temple. Thank God Jesus was in church when mama found him. He was in the temple sitting in the midst of the teachers. He's 12 years old, sitting in the midst of maybe people like me, a little older, 48, 50 years old, listening to them, not only listening, but he was asking questions. It's okay to ask questions in church. Maybe not while the preacher's preaching, but if you got a question, ask him after church. But they was having a Bible study, like we do over here, asking questions. And all who heard him were astonished. He's 12 years old. Where is he? He don't know. How is he answering these questions? And they were astonished, not at his youth. They were astonished at his, what does your word say? Understanding. And answers. That word understanding is, it literally means a putting together. Hence, quickness of apprehension, the critical faculty for clear apprehension. Intelligently assessing a situation. It's comparable to the modern idiom, putting two and two together. That's what the Holy Spirit does. See, Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit. He was not yet anointed by the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit was teaching him and giving him. He was taking the old, and then there was no New Testament. He was taking the old covenant, but relating it to God the Father, the tree of life. This is all the bad stuff that he had read was happening because of all this stuff, but then he's linked, right? He has a direct connect to the Father. By the Holy Spirit. And he's getting understanding. He said, we were in the world. We were lost in the world. We all have been born into sin. But Jesus was not born conceived of sin. He had complete connect to God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's how he was able to understand. That's how you will defeat the temptations and the tricks and the wiles of the devil. And so will I. It's by the power of the Holy Spirit. Can you say amen? Amen? You have the mind of Christ, but you got to stay linked up to the Holy Spirit, to that anointing, that unction. So, Father, we just thank you right now for your word. I'm not praying right now. I'm just declaring some things. Say, you have heard the word. You've heard Jesus teaching the word this morning. It don't matter how young or how old you may be, you're never too old to understand the kingdom of God. Oh, neither am I. Beautiful. I'm learning it right now because I'm seeking and I'm thirsting after the one who is holy and just. And there's no sickness in him. There's no disease in him. There's no lack in him. There's no pain in the knees, even if you got metal knees, Larry. You can walk pain-free in Jesus' name. Anything. He can do all things are possible. Just put your believer on that. Put your believer on that. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He's the God of the universe. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And He's given us the Holy Spirit. I've received the Holy Spirit. I speak in tongues. That's okay. That's a gift of the Holy Spirit. So can you. But you have to receive that. And if you haven't received that yet, guess what? Jesus is the baptizer. And I'm here to agree with you. If you need it, I'm not saying if we don't have it, but if you need it and you don't have it, put your hand up. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, then know this. Use it. Use that gift. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Building yourself up on your most holy faith. I haven't done as much as I need to. Don't get knocked down if you think you didn't meet that criteria today. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is the one who empowers us. It don't matter if you ain't prayed in the Holy Ghost for 30 minutes. Just start praying now. He's the power source from which He's that tree of life. All that we need is in Him. All that we need is in Him.
He helps me a lot.
He helps us a lot.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you.
When I'm 99, I'm going to be saying, He helps me a lot. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. This is November. Thanksgiving's coming. You know what? We got a lot to be thankful for. That doesn't mean temptation's not coming. When Cain was tempted, when he brought his offering to God, he was looking at his brother's offering. Had his eyes on the wrong thing. If he'd had his eyes on God, he would have brought a better offering. See, the offering he brought to God was not as pleasing. It was like a one-eyed rooster instead of a two-eyed rooster. He didn't give his best. You getting the picture there? Abel brought a lamb. We could call him Fluffy. I've heard Keith Moore say he called him Fluffy. Fluffy took care of Fluffy. He was his prized sheep, lamb, Fluffy. He brought God's best to him and sacrificed him. But Cain, I can't think of a name for that old one-eyed rooster. I think of John Wayne and Rooster Cogburn, that patch. Am I right? Rooster Cogburn, that was it. And he had a patch on his eye, old red, old one-eyed rooster is what Cain brought. He didn't bring his best because he wasn't expecting God's best. And God told him, He said, Cain, if you would have done right, I would have been able to bless you. He says, but now sin is lying at the door. He knew, God knew he was going to be tempted to kill his brother. He even told him before it happened, sin is lying at your door. What'd he do? He didn't go that way. He went to that door, to that sin. He didn't take the escape. All he had to do was go home and bring a better offering. Bring it back to church. Run. Go get that offering. Bring it back to God. Nope. He went and slew his brother. Killed him. See, that was the devil. That pride of life working in there. They didn't know evil. So they were learning. And we need to listen to this because we might think that's way out there. I'm not just going to go kill my brother. There's people out there. There's teenagers. You see it on the news. Put a mask on, take a knife, and go to school. Guess what? They just didn't all of a sudden one day decide to do that. There's a spirit out there. It's called the devil. And if we open up our minds, he can come right in. And I heard this in one of the Believers magazines. Somebody talking about how that they drowned their infant, maybe a toddler. He said, but he was not even thinking about doing that. Give him a bath. He said, all of a sudden, this desire just came upon him just to kill his son. And he said, after it happened, and I can understand this, he said he looked back and he was like shocked that he did this. And he told the author that wrote this that something just came upon me. This evil just came upon me. I'm like, yep. That's how the devil works. He gets in a mind that is open, doesn't have the Word of God in there, and he'll come in and he'll bring that temptation. They'll just act on it because their mind's open. Haven't heard the Word. Hadn't let the Word of God get in there. And then try to excuse it away. See, the devil came in and he left. Guess what? Now you got to suffer the consequences. He's gone. He's out there. He's done his part. He just brought the temptation. And if you don't have nothing to resist him, you're able. Now, I'm not talking about a Christian, but a Christian, we're going to be tempted too. But if you don't put the word in there, you have no resistance. If there's no, if that light circuit up there, it's on. If that bulb, if it's broken, if the line is broken, there's no resistance, it'll burn out. There's got to be something to resist it. It's resisting. The Word of God, we submit ourselves to God, and we resist the devil, and he has to flee. We turn the light on. Who was talking about? We're shining for Jesus. Without the Word of God, you have nothing to turn on. A lot of people don't have the Word in. Garbage in, you get garbage out. And the devil's full of garbage. Amen. 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 So you are blessed.